This session is part of the Indie Author Fringe Conference, a three times a year author conference fringe to the major publishing fairs London Book Fair, Book Expo America, and Frankfurt Book Fair. The Indie Author Fringe is run under the stewardship of the Alliance of Independent Authors, is organised by writers for writers, and is free to attend. Let's see who's sharing self-publishing insights in this session.
Hello everyone and welcome back, and we have a real treat in store for you now. I have Mr. Brian Cohen, who is himself a very accomplished self-published indie author, and he writes about his, the title of his talk is Copywriting is Creative Writing, and in some ways it doesn't quite do justice to it, because what Brian is going to be talking about is all the writing that goes around your book, how you reach your reader, your book description, essentially the writing that takes the writing out into the world. So he's only got 20 minutes. Get your pens to the ready. You are going to be wowed. Brian.
Thank you. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it. This is going to be fun. There's a lot of learning here. So, you definitely should get your pen out, your iPad, whatever you have there. But so this is called, like Orna said, Copywriting is Creative Writing. And for those of you who don't know what copywriting is, that's essentially all the words you use to sell your books. Book descriptions, ads, things on the back cover, anything that's not in between those pages. These are important words that will help you sell more books, whether you're traditionally published or self-published. So my subtitle here, How I Learned to Love the Creativity of Marketing. And I really do enjoy copywriting. A lot of authors, I see this meme going around that is Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And it says, we hate to write the blurb, but we must. And that is how probably about 95% of authors think about copywriting, think about trying to condense their 80,000 word book into 250 words seems insane when their editor told them to cut 10% and they couldn't even cut one. So I'm going to try to help you guys do that a little bit today, and hopefully you'll learn a lot in a short amount of time. So here's what you're going to learn today. First, why copywriting is more artistic than you think. Some rules as to how you write more effective copy, how to turn your better copy into more book sales and more subscribers on your email list. And if you've ever watched any self-publishing podcast or show or anything, probably the first thing you hear is to start an email list. So if you haven't started an email list, start it today, like while this talk is going on, even if you have to. So this is a very academic proof right here. My 10th grade geometry teacher would be very proud of me. So let's start by saying, what is poetry? Poetry is a type of writing where each word counts toward the ultimate goal of evoking an emotional reaction. Now, you could say a lot of different things about poetry, but that is one possible definition. But here is another definition. Copywriting slash advertising is a type of writing where each word counts toward the ultimate goal of evoking an emotional reaction. Huh, this is strange. I think Miss Eberts would say that means, by the transitive property, copywriting is poetry. Now, what you might be saying is, that's bull feathers, Brian. And by the way, I was really happy to find that image. I bought that image. I'm going to use it thousands of times for the rest of my career. So here are some things that might be going through your mind other than bull feathers. I don't hate copywriting because it's poetic. I hate it because it's salesy. And we all know that trying to sell books is horrible. It makes us bad people. Our parents hate us. It's a really bad thing. Unless it pays the bills and then everybody's happy in your household. And some people might be saying, I'd rather walk on hot coals than write a book description. I have gotten that from a lot of authors that I've seen over the years. But I want you to keep in mind, because if you've ever tried to sit down and condense your book into a short description and it was torturous, I want you to remember, how long did it take you to learn a second language? How long did it take you to learn the rules for your favorite sport? How long did it take you to learn all of your spouse's subtle cues? Because I know I've been with my wife for about 11 years, and I don't know them all yet. I really, probably about 10% of them. So I'm working my way through that. But it probably took you more than a few hours. And copywriting is the kind of thing that is going to take you a little longer than you expect, because it's a completely different thing for your brain. So despite the fact that copywriting / poetry, using my transitive property, is a whole different animal, we all expect this should take about 20 minutes. It's only 200 words. Why is my brain freaking out about this? But we didn't learn Spanish in a few hours, so we're not going to learn copywriting in a few hours, but you'll learn some things in 20 minutes. So you need to expect a struggle whenever you're doing something new. I mean, look at Orna talking about the 7 processes of self-publishing. You're not going to be an expert at those right away, but we are here to learn. We're here to grow as we make progress. So here's how the brain works. The brain is kind of like an ever-changing system of highways. When you've done something a bunch of times, it's nice and paved, but when you haven't, it's kind of gravelly. So when you try to learn something new, you need to do some repetition. You need focus, and you need to learn some specific skills to improve at that. That comes through self-publishing. If you've written your first book, your second book is easier because you have gone over that road. So we're going to go over a road a couple of times with copywriting. So let's train our brains with this really gross-looking brain lifting some weights. Here are the skills you need to work on the copywriting for your books. First, you need to learn to write things in fewer words. Then you need to learn to hear kind of flow and momentum. You hear when people read a book description they like, they say, that book sounds really good. So you need to learn how to hear the words that you put into your copywriting. Then you need to learn some effective copywriting words. And we are going to go in depth on all of these. So we need to learn specific words that readers tend to appreciate, that tends to evoke that emotional response from them. And then we need to learn how to edit down to the essence. Like I said, a lot of people hate trying to bring down a book from 80,000 words to the 250-word description, but we're going to go over a few tips here. So first rule of copywriting is that less is more. So you need to learn how to say things in fewer words. It really sounds easy. I know it's a lot harder than it sounds, but when you have 3 sentences you need to cut down to 2, or 2 you need to cut down to 1, it's a matter of training your brain to think in fewer words. So we need to make our sentences shorter and denser. Find a way to say something in a different way so that it has even more impact in shorter, fewer amount of words. So here is a before of maybe a book description, maybe an advertisement, whatever you're using. No matter what Kayla does, she seems to suffer every bad break known to man. This is not one of those sentences that you look at and you say, oh, well, this is a terrible sentence. I'm going to just cut it and start from scratch. It's not a bad sentence in a description, but we can go deeper. We can go denser, and that's what copywriting is all about. So here is an after, just saying the same thing in a different way. Kayla can't shake her lifetime of bad luck. Same exact sentiment, but in fewer words. And if you're really into the poetic aspects of this, we also have some really nice hard words here. Can't, shake, luck. We've got kind of this negative slamming of sound that's happening in this sentence. And these kind of things matter when you only have about 250 words to describe your book. So the first thing, less is more. Second, we're going to choose emotion over explanation. So a lot of self-published authors, traditionally published authors who maybe have some kind of influence on their blurb, which is a word that a lot of people use interchangeably with book description, even though it's not the right word. Readers, they tend to fill their description with the entire plot from beginning to end. But it's not about a synopsis, really. It's more about the emotion. Because a reader doesn't say, oh, that plot sounds really cool. They say, that character is really interesting. I want to find out more. And so that is kind of the angle you want to go from. So instead of focusing on the plot, and this really goes for nonfiction as well, for any, are there any nonfiction authors in the house? Two, cool, three-ish, two and a half-ish. So this really does go for nonfiction as well, because in nonfiction, you're trying to describe the benefits that people will get. If you just list the laundry list of this book has this book has this, instead of saying this book has this, which will get you peace of mind. This book has this, which will make you be able to pay your bills on time. You want to get that emotional reaction no matter what genre you're writing in. So let's go with a before and after again. Before, shortly after, and I totally made these descriptions up. I didn't pull this from any book, so I'm not bashing anybody. Just kind of bashing myself in a way. Shortly after his painful divorce, former cop Marcel London started a private investigation business only to run out of clients 6 months in. This is a very typical first line of a description I will see from most self-published authors. They want to establish plot context. They want to establish where the plot is starting. But the plot isn't that important. What's important is How do we feel about Marcel here? How is a reader going to react to this character? So, the change is private investigator Marcel London is divorced, broke, and down to his last case. So, even in this, we have kind of this crescendo, if you will, of he's divorced, oh man. He's broke, oh that's even worse. And he's down to his last case, so he has no chance of getting out of this broke state. So we're growing as we go through this sentence, but we're also cutting out, instead of shortly after his painful divorce, that condenses into divorced. Instead of running out of clients, we have broke and down to his last case. So we're finding ways to cut out plot and feel something about our main character here. And that is what I would recommend in every first line of a description. Should not be about plot, even if it's epic fantasy and you've got this cool world going on. Readers like that, but they don't care enough for it to take up three sentences as it usually does in descriptions. You want something that connects with people. Connect the characters to the readers. If a reader has ever known anyone who's divorced, broke, and down on their luck, they know Marcel. And you want them to know the main character. Get a feel for them. Number three is copywriting must flow and grow. So, like I just said, plot is not important, but momentum is really the key in your description. I see so many descriptions peter off at the end, and nobody really cares enough to click the buy button because it doesn't sound like this book is that interesting. So you need to, a lot of people say, don't ever use cliffhangers in your books, which I've heard back and forth about if you should do that. People give cliffhangers one-star reviews, but they also buy the next book. But you need to leave readers wanting more at the end. You need a cliffhanger at the end of your description. So before, the dastardly villain may have numbers, but Hansen has his friends Victor and Dottie by his side. The three heroes have a hard road ahead of them. If you give like kind of a collective shrug at the end of a description, then it's probably not that exciting, and I shrug at the end of this one. So let's change that. When Hansen's team comes up against incredible odds, they'll need to fight with everything they have to save the human race. And if the movie trailer guy can read any part of your description, you're headed in the right direction. To save the human race. I mean, You need to think as if the movie trailer guy, the In a World guy, was reading your description. And if it doesn't sound like it would work, and it's more of the collective shrug, then your description needs to think about the momentum. What is the cliffhanger you're putting in your description? Number four is to use the right words. So there are some words, and this is known through copywriting, that work better than others. So it's good to follow other people's example. And selling really can be kind of scientific in a way, which doesn't make it shady. It just makes it smart when you use those practices. So before, when you're describing your book, you might say, an electrifying adventure with constant twists and turns. There's nothing wrong with this. It's good to use adjectives. This is positive. But we can spice it up. If you like electrifying adventures with constant twists and turns, then you'll love Eric Hand's latest thrill ride. The word you is so important in copywriting because people say, oh, if I like it, well, then maybe I'll get it. If I like electrifying adventures, then maybe this book is for me. You is a great word, and the word love is a great word in copywriting. And you might see this BookBub thing on all of your lanyards. Well, BookBub did a study and found that the if you like this, then you'll love that construct converts better in your book descriptions. So if they had enough money to buy all these lanyards for us, I would say they probably know their stuff and are doing pretty well for themselves. So follow the example of the smart people who have money. So where do I apply these rules in my author copywriting business? You can use them in your book descriptions, in your emails to bloggers or reviewers if you're trying to get more book reviews. You can use them in ads, in Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook ads are probably better than the other two for what it's worth. For your website, you can use it in your bio, your landing page, etc. And a landing page is a place where you collect email addresses for that very important email list that I talked about earlier. And then you can use them in your emails to readers. So if you get people onto your list, you can use these tactics to shorten and sweeten your copywriting. So the big question is, what kind of results should I expect from making these changes? So I don't have a ton of time, so I'm going to do these stories short. An author I worked with who has a backlist of over 40 books said, Brian, I want to see if I can improve my sales. I said, try changing your descriptions. And she started changing a description every day. And slowly but surely, she saw that red spike. If any KDP people here, they know that red spike of more sales is a very positive thing. And she started to see that more and more as she changed more and more descriptions using this kind of strategy. When you have a big promo, like a BookBub, if you have a better description in place, then you can get more sales. Friend of mine, author, had a great success from a BookBub, earned $3,500 in a month, and said, but how can I make this better? Changed his description, and the next time he ran a BookBub, he earned $7,000. It's not to say it was all the description, but that's a pretty big difference. Improve the return on investment on ads. I was running an ad that wasn't going anywhere, and I even had a guy, Mark Dawson, who runs a big Facebook ad program who couldn't figure it out. We sent it out and around, and people said, hey, you know that the first line of your description is too long and it cuts off in the middle on mobile version, right? No, I didn't know that. Changed that, made it shorter, automatically started getting a positive return. You can get a lot of people in suits forming in a triangle to join your list. So in the last couple months, I've used Facebook ads personally to add about 1,000 people to my fiction list. And I've used a combination of ads and webinars and all sorts of stuff to add about 10,000 people to a nonfiction list. Ads are really good. And when you know how to write condensed, punchy ads, they can serve even better. And you can open up new opportunities. When I started connecting with my readers on my email list, I connected with a mom who was reading one of my young adult books, spread it to her son, who spread it to his classroom. I said, well, where's your classroom? Maybe I could come talk to you guys. And she said, South Africa. So I got to spread my book throughout this South African classroom just by connecting with people better on my effectively copywritten emails. So here's a little recap for you guys. Copywriting is poetry, at least from the perspective of evoking emotional reactions from your readers. Writing copy is difficult because you need to work on it. You don't have all of your spouse's subtle cues after a year of marriage. You need to keep working on it to get better. Less is more. Fewer words usually do better for you. And emotion is more important than plot. Your copy needs to grow. It needs a cliffhanger. And some words like you and love work better than others. And lastly, when you apply strong copy, you can improve your entire platform all across the board. So here's Bull Feathers again. You can learn more. You can go to my website at sellingforauthors.com. You can get a free cheat sheet on better copywriting. And there, I have a little video course on emails as well. So thank you guys for watching. And I think we have maybe a minute or two for questions. But thanks to everybody for listening. If anybody has any questions, raise your hand now or forever hold your peace. And there's a mic going around.
I think it's BookBub that you get 50 words, you know, if you want to, I see those little, or Goodreads, I forget which it is, and they come in the emails, and you get 50 words to give this whole, how on earth do you
Yeah, BookBub, for those who aren't familiar with BookBub, the lanyard buyer, they are a email marketing company for authors. They have millions of subscribers. Very, very hard to get into. I had a BookBub rejection joke in my head going over here, but we don't need to go into that. They only accept about 5 to 10% of people who apply, but they have an even shorter description of about 50 words in their emails that they send out and on their website. So if they can sell millions and millions of books for people in 50 words, you guys can too, for sure. Thank you for the question. Any other questions out there? There's one in the back.
What's your name?
Oh, did I not even say that? It's possible I didn't. I'm Brian Cohen. It's nice to meet you. Who are you? Let's see. Anybody else? Well, thank you guys. This has been really fun. Feel free to head over to Selling for Authors for more info.
You've been listening to another great session brought to you by the Indie Author Fringe and the Alliance of Independent Authors, Ally. You can find out more about both by visiting Ally's Self-Publishing Advice Center, www.selfpublishingadvice.org. Now, go write and publish.